Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Go.
All right, hour number two, the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. 5-5, just moments away. Congratulations to David from Watkinsville, who identified Miami Dolphins legend Jay Cutler as Vandy's all-time career passing leader, although Kyle Shermer is closing in on him. Cutler threw for 8,697 yards. Shermer is currently at exactly 7,900 yards passing for his career. So he is 81 shy of Greg Zuhlman.
He was a good one.
And honing in on Jay Cutler. So Shermer will probably end up as the all-time leading passer by the time it's all over with.
Zuhlman, that was a subject of my great question and shoot down from Coach D.
Yeah, big lefty quarterback. David Green was redshirting that year. And
I thought that was a great question.
Jeff thought it might be a good idea if, like, Green, he kind of ran Georgia's scout team defense that week to prepare for a lefty quarterback, but Coach Donnan didn't seem to really.
Like, nah, it won't matter.
Yeah. It turned out Coach Donnan was right. It didn't matter, right?
No, we won. But you think about their quarterback. So they had a guy who wound up quarterbacking the Giants back in the 50s named Bill Wade, who actually led Vanderbilt to a bowl game. Then I think through the 80s, Whit Taylor was a great quarterback. He was actually runner-up to Herschel for a SEC MVP in 1982. And then they had a great quarterback named Kurt Page, who actually coached at Prince Avenue a couple of years ago. And he threw the 17 completions to Keith Edwards in 83, and then Hoge saved the day. And as you mentioned, Zuhlman and Cutler. So they've had some really good ones, and Kyle Shermer's certainly right there. And you got that football background. I mean, his late great uncle, Fritz Shermer, you're talking about one of the iconic defensive coordinators of the 90s. He was a D.C. Bramer for that 96 Packers team. And, of course, his dad is the head coach of the New York Giants, and I love the story that he convinced his dad that they needed to draft Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, they drafted Saquon Barkley with the number two pick of the draft and then punted on 4th-and-1 from midfield in a game they were losing.
That they did?
Yeah. It's probably not the greatest of strategies.
No, probably not.
That's why
not.
I say, like, I would – like, if Pat Shermer were my head coach, his job would be to teach football, and he would have another human being next to him that says – you will be going for it right here, Coach.
Now.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
No, it is not your choice. That's my job.
I mean, they draft Barkley, who's a great back. Let's say, what's the
not
point?
Not just draft. They used the number two pick of the draft on him, and then they're punting on 4th-and-1 from midfield in a game they were trailing.
Bramer, what's the point of buying a Ferrari if you're not going to drive it, right?
That's what I say. You know what the result of that punt was? Then they were losing 10-0 after they did that. And by the way, Vandy is keeping Shermer clean this year. He's
I got a good line.
He's only been sacked on 2.5% of his dropbacks. No. So, you know, we don't sack the quarterback. Vandy doesn't let their quarterback get sacked.
And this might be one of those situations where you'll see Georgia maybe rely a little bit more on that secondary there. And, you know, who knows? I think with a guy like Shermer, you've obviously – you got to get him uncomfortable. A veteran like that with football in his blood, he is going to be hard to sack. And again, Vandy has, I think they returned 4 starters on their offensive line.
No, it's showing.
Yep. Very similar to Missouri, which brought all 5 back there. So, you know, you're not going to get to that guy 3, 4, 5 times, but I think you can at least make him a little bit uncomfortable. So this might be one of those games. And listen, Kirby and Derek Mason, both of their backgrounds are on defense. So there's going to be some scheming and some chess matching, and I'm sure Mel Tucker's dialing up some different coverages out there. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, I've seen Georgia lose to Vanderbilt way too many times in my life. Hopefully the one 2 years ago was the last time. It doesn't happen all the time. And I know they've got a lot of guys from Georgia on their team, which pretty much every team in the SEC does. There's so much talent here. They just they always seem to play above their heads, especially here. I mean, they've had some really good games against Georgia, even when we've won through the years.
They've had a weird arc to their season, though. They opened up with really, I mean, two impressive wins against Middle Tennessee State and Nevada. Then they went and had a shot. They had the ball and were down inside the red zone against Notre Dame, and fourth down pass, their guy goes up and has it, and then just can't control it when he hits the ground. They turn it over on downs, and they lose a close game to the Irish, and then they get blown out by South Carolina, and then they beat Tennessee State 31-27. So, you know, their first three games were pretty strong efforts, and then their last two have just been terrible. So it's hard to try and figure out what to make of Vandy as they come rolling into town Saturday.
But a guy like Shurmur, though, he worries you because he's very smart and he's very talented, and he has definitely improved a lot as his career has gone along.
Yeah, and they still got that. You know, Ralph Webb is gone, but that other back, that Blassing game, who was here 2 years ago, he's still back there for him. Georgia, healthy favorite at laying 26.5 points. The 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. And I guess right there we just kind of addressed, it's Tuesday, I was going to get the opening arguments in the case of Georgia versus Vandy, but I believe we kind of just went over it right there of what to expect for Saturday, at least from the Vandy perspective. As far as Georgia goes,
got to have good run defense again. I mean, and that was a key against Tennessee. Don't give Shurmur 2nd and 3, 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
You're going to be in trouble.
You know, Baker will shut somebody down for them. You got to watch the other guy, especially if, you know, if Shurmur does have a clean pocket, he's able to get some protection to throw. And that's pretty much what's been the case for him so far this season. But
Georgia's got to get a little bit better at safety this week, too, because the first TD, that was a busted coverage. Give Tennessee credit. They came out with a little nifty formation, and LeCount had gone out of the game the play before. He had gotten shaken up, and then he came back in. Which, by the way, also these double numbers, and they announced on the inside press box, that's LeCount that's hurt. And I looked down and I saw number 2. I was like, no, that's not him. Well, that was Jason Stanley on the sideline. God, these double numbers.
We have to lead the country in guys that wear multiple numbers.
We
even got that penalty in that one game because two of them went on the field at the same
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, on the touchdown to Chandler, we didn't take a great angle at that with the last line of defense.
Yeah. It's funny, like last week, Tennessee's defense had been bad all season and given up those big plays. Like you said, I mean, they seemed to – the strategy
– those safeties, man, they were
– Right.
So, two of them, they were both deep.
So, you know, our offense, which had basically specialized in that this season, didn't have – I don't think there was a single play by Georgia's offense that went for more than 20 yards Saturday against them. But Vandy's defense has been kind of the reverse of that, where – they've given up yards, but they've been kind of like our defense that's given up yards, but just is limited explosiveness. And that's kind of how the Commies' defense has been, too. So we'll see if Georgia can get back to hitting some big plays against a defense that has, for the most part, for Vandy, been pretty good at preventing them.
Well, and one of the similarities, too, like we said, Derek Mason and Kirby, both old defensive coordinators there, and obviously Mel Tucker runs Georgia's defense now, and Derek Mason stopped running the defense at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, which didn't work out for him last year, but they seem to be better this year than they were last year, for sure.
And, you know,
but last year they also lost Zach Cunningham.
That hurt. You know, it's one of those things, too. You want your coach to have a hand on all areas. And my take on it is, I'm not a fan of the head coach being the play caller. You have to oversee everything and see the big picture of the game. But on offense, defense, special teams, I do like it if there are times when it's like, hey, listen, why don't we dial up that blitz on this play? Or, hey, this is a great time to run that reverse we've been working on. So you inject something here or there. But just to try and call every play, it's too much. You don't really, as the old chess saying goes, you don't see the whole board.
Has Brian Kelly taken Derek Mason up on his offer to come to Nashville?
And I'd back Mason on that.
I would take Mason also.
He's put together.
Oh,
man.
Mason is, yeah. And he wears that thing. It looks like a big bulletproof vest.
Yeah. I wouldn't fight him, I'll tell you that.
All right, moving on to the 5-5. How do we see Georgia's quarterback usage moving forward? Because Saturday was the first time that it kind of got weird where Fromm and Fields were playing basically at the same time, and it wasn't just one guy had a possession, then the other guy had a possession. But, I mean, Fields would be in the game, and all of a sudden you'd look and like, oh, Fromm's back in now.
Yeah, I thought they both played really well. And obviously there were a couple of miscues, the fumbles, but they're both tremendous talents. You know, Justin's still learning, and Jake's 5 games into his sophomore year here. So I think those are two of the best players on the team. And when you're talking about young quarterbacks, who would you trade for those two? I mean, come on, they're tremendous. So I think for Georgia to get where Georgia wants to get, both of those guys are going to have to play great.
We need to get used to seeing that this season, where, like, you know, Fromm's in the game, and the next thing you know, you're going to look and like, oh, well, there's Fields, and then Fields is out, and then Fromm's back in.
I like what Kirby said. I'm trying to quote this accurately. We said the plan is there is no plan. And I think with those two, it's just kind of you're going on feel, and maybe a matchup here, a matchup there seems to suit one or the other better. But, I mean, on that basically put-away drive for Georgia, they were both tremendous. And I think the other thing that does, you're talking about doubling the homework for the opposition during the week.
I guess the weird sequence was we got to that 3rd and 1 on that one drive, and then Fromm came back in.
Right.
And we got the false start anyway, so it didn't matter. But I wonder, like, Fields got away with throwing a bad ball, that interception he threw.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they Tennessee had the penalty, which
right.
negated it.
Now, that was one. He knew it was a free play. They jumped off sides on it.
All right, so you give him a pass there.
I'll give him a pass on that one.
Right.
He threw it deep. He knew it was a free play.
Okay.
I'll give him a pass.
That's what he got taken out of the game, so I was wondering if, like, well, maybe the coaches were mad at
him. I guess Kirby didn't give him a pass.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know, because then it was 3rd and 1, and Fromm was back in. Then we got the false start.
But they're both good. And listen, Jake can run, too. Let's not forget those 2 touchdowns he had at Tennessee last year.
Yeah.
And remember the Kentucky game, our offense was sucking wind, and then Jake took a little keep around left end, got about 26 yards, and that loosened everything up. But, you know, I mean, they're both just tremendous talents. And they're both, I'm just telling you, those guys practicing together every day are both just getting better and better each and every Saturday, each and every week.
Well, it makes sense. Just as the deeper you get into the season, too, I mean, it would stand to reason you're going to see Fields play more and more than you did early in the year.
Absolutely.
Because early in the year, he was still green. He was a freshman. And, you know, as he gains more and more experience and gets more and more snaps, he'll get better and better, and we'll see more of him. Because, you know, Saturday was much different than the first SEC game this season at South Carolina, where Fromm took essentially every meaningful snap, and then
right.
Fields came in just to clean it up once it was all over with.
And that was a great drive that he led at the end.
Against the against the Gamecocks?
Yes, sir.
All right, moving on in the 5-5. Month 1 of the college football season, biggest surprise, biggest bust so far?
I think the biggest surprise is what Kentucky's done, to be 5-0. I'm not stunned that they've got a winning record. Penny Snell's a great back, but let's face it, they've lost to Florida 31 years in a row. So who saw them going down there and winning, and then to be able to come home and beat Mississippi State and to be able to beat South Carolina in back-to-back weeks, very impressive. As far as a bust go, I mean, to me, take your pick. How bad Florida State's looked a couple of times. Arizona, I think we knew UCLA would struggle, but they just look horrible. I mean, Arkansas looks horrible. So, to me, I think there's a collective group of big-name schools that are just all not good.
Yeah, UCLA, I expected – I don't know that I expected Arkansas to be –
Yeah, to lose 44-17 to North Texas, that's a different level. If you'd have told me they're going to go 4-8 or 3-9, okay, I buy that. But you lose 44-17 to North Texas.
Yeah, that – That I wouldn't have seen coming, but I want to say it is Arizona, though. Like, I should have thought Arizona had a shot to be pretty decent this year.
I had them in my Bulldog Illustrated preseason top 25. Good gracious.
They're bad.
They're bad.
Because, that Pac-12 South was there for the taking.
Wide open. I mean, now is Colorado the team to
beat? They're quietly, they're undefeated, and they don't have a tough schedule. They do have to go to Washington.
And then, meanwhile, Utah's, they've got a very good team. They've got two very close losses.
Yes. One of them to Washington.
Right.
But the rest of the way for Colorado, what is it? They got Arizona State at home, at USC, which is winnable, then at Washington.
Yeah.
The Oregon State at Arizona, home Washington State, home Utah, and at Cal.
That's
so
a doable
there's a
schedule.
Sneaky undefeated team that does not have the toughest of schedules still in front of them. Biggest surprise is easy. That's Kentucky. No brainer.
Yes.
Because the Cats are legitimately good. That's not a fluke right now. What Kentucky's doing.
What's the game this season, whether it's a margin of victory or just whether it's who won, who lost, what's the most surprising game to you this year?
It might be BYU beating Wisconsin, because I thought Wisconsin was a playoff contender.
That one was at the top of the list for me, too. I still think that first game, what LSU did to Miami.
I mean, I hate to, like, you know, I just to me that didn't surprise me, though, because we had seen teams coached by Mark Richt show up the first game of the season and not look like they had practiced for a month. So it didn't surprise me to see that.
That was an impressive win, though, for LSU. I think that was one of those where, like, whoa, these guys are legit this year.
I mean, I'm still not on that. I'm not jumping on that bandwagon yet. But I guess LSU fans are fine not having me on there as I keep doubting them and they just keep on winning.
Yeah,
but
so
I hate to say that, but it's true. We've seen Georgia teams show up in those big marquee games to start off a season and really look. It's like, what have we been doing for the last month? So,
yeah, like we have a false start on the first play.
Yeah, so that one, I mean, it didn't surprise me. You know, as the season has continued on, maybe at first to see Florida State look as horrendous as they did against Virginia Tech. Well, how about Virginia Tech losing at Old Dominion would be one of those results. And then turning around and winning at Duke.
You never know. Every Saturday, you better be ready. You better be. There's so many players out there now. Just look at the NFL and how many really good players went to small colleges. I mean, they're guys out there.
Yeah, they
all
got
over
guys.
The place.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like just having one guy and shouldn't be enough. But like Old Dominion though,
based on
the rest of their season, they don't have any guys. They have one win.
But like that back looked like Earl Campbell out there during the game.
Virginia Tech
couldn't stop him.
It is. It's like how does that even happen?
I know.
It's 600 yards of offense.
It's just during a game, these games take on their own complexion, and it can change. And that's a big thing. That momentum is just, it's so fickle. And I know I'm jumping around here, but we went through this, I guess it was yesterday, kind of going through the drive chart. Georgia, the last 3 weeks, hasn't had great field position, you know, with the exception of starting on the Missouri 7 after the interception there from Crowder. And that's probably another reason why Georgia, you know, didn't get half a hundy these last 2 weeks. So that's going to be another thing. You know, can the defense, can the special teams get the dogs some short fields on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, a year ago, Georgia had the second-best opponent starting field position. Alabama was the team that was the best, and that definitely helps your defense as it goes along. That's kind of, I guess, leveled off a little bit this season for Georgia, both, you know, on the plus and the minus from where the offense is starting. But last year, I mean, the defense from the combination of the special teams, I guess being a little more disciplined and not having the bad penalties, Georgia's opponents were starting buried most of the time last season.
And I'll tell you something, too. This kid is really good. He's really talented. He's going to be great. But, you know, Kamara's still learning the ropes as a punter. Nizalek was tremendous last season.
Yeah, I mean, Kamara's a freshman.
Yeah.
Nizalek was a vet. He's an Ivy League veteran. All right, moving on in the 5 at 5, we'll wrap up with some baseball. We got a couple days here. We'll talk about the Braves and the Dodgers. And, you know, the Braves still have to figure out what that 25-man roster is going to look like. We do know that Fultonevich is going to be the game one starter, but still got to hold out and see whether or not Swanson is even going to be on the roster, because he did not take any swings yesterday in BP, so it's not looking good for him. But Braves and Dodgers, Tuesday lean on that series.
I think you would lean a little bit Los Angeles just because of the experience. But there was an old saying in college sports with freshmen. It's like, they're too dumb to know better. They don't know any better. They're just here. They don't know they're not supposed to be this good. And I just kind of think about that with like Acuna and Albies. Like, yeah, okay, we're not supposed to be here. I mean, they're 20 and 21. Are you kidding me? So I don't know if the big stage really bothers them that much, because supposed to be here.
Like Andrew Jones in Yankee Stadium when he was 19 years old.
It's like dumb is not the right word, but it's like you're just so young.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
I mean, they're not just going to be like
– You don't know
any better. The bright lights aren't going to have them like a deer in headlights.
Your Andrew's case, he was 19. For Acuna and Albies, they're 20 and 21, whatever. They don't know it. They don't know that they're not supposed to be in Dodger Stadium facing Clayton Kershaw at this point in their career.
Right.
So I think they can do anything. The Dodge, you know, Jansen he's not automatic on the back end.
Not anymore. He gave up those two homers yesterday.
But that was also a spot of closer coming in a 5-0 game. But so the Dodgers have the better bullpen, and the rotation's definitely deeper. So that would make me lean L.A., but that Braves offense, I'll tell you, that 1-3 is as good as anybody. I mean, they're explosive enough to win. I'd give the Dodgers, Chris, I don't know what the Vegas total is, probably about a 58-60% win rate.
You know what's sneaky about L.A., too, is they got eight guys that have hit 20 or more home runs this season, which is another reason to not pitch Tehran.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. When you run into that, the postseason is so much about home runs, just because you're not going to get to the postseason with lousy pitching. And how many 3-2 or 2-1 games do we see? And you can be pitching good, and all it takes is, boom, that one shot. And, you know, well, hey, look, what's the only World Series the Braves won? It was 1-0. How'd they get the run? David Justice. So that lineup that you might feel like you're controlling them, you're pitching them good, but it's so deep that just about everybody's capable of leaving the yard. I'm not saying the Braves don't have a chance, but I just think the Dodgers have the better bullpen, they've got the deeper rotation, and just that depth of power that you pointed out.
Well, the crazy thing about the Dodgers this year, too, is arguably Kershaw was only their second-best pitcher behind Buehler. Buehler had a huge year for them.
I'll tell you what, he's one of those guys, you know, and we certainly have a great one in Alex Wood and a great one in Josh Fields who pitched for the Dodgers that, you know, you could see Buehler when he came through at Vandy's. This guy's going to be a big leaguer.
Yeah, he's not one of those. Was he on the team that actually won a title?
I think so.
Okay.
They had Buehler and Carson Fulmer were their two guys.
So he's not like the Vandy choker like David Price.
No, sir. By the way, for my Yanks there, was that a good thing? Now, obviously, the Oakland game tomorrow night's everything, but that they kind of knocked Boston around a little bit this past weekend?
If the Yanks can survive tomorrow, they're beating Boston in the division series.
But Oakland has got a 50-50 chance tomorrow.
Yeah, although they're starting like a reliever tomorrow.
Well, they're just
and the Yankees are going with Severino.
That didn't go well last year.
It didn't. No, the Twins knocked him out like the first inning.
It's four batters.
Yeah. One note, and it brought this up several times this season about Atlanta, which is an interesting stat having to face since they're going to see Kershaw and Ryu in those first two games. The Braves do have the fourth best OPS in baseball hitting lefties. It's 780. So the Braves lineup has done well against left-handed pitchers this season. And
again, those young guys, they might not know any better.
Yeah. NL wild card tonight, Rockies at Cubs. Who do we like?
I think three time zones, three places, 3 days, slight lean towards the Cubs. But, man, those Rockies can hit.
The Rockies mash lefties, too. They've hit 74 home runs against lefties. John Lester, starting tonight for the Cubs. The Cubs do not have a great bullpen. But what you just said there, this is the third time zone in 3 days the Rockies will be in.
Let me ask you this. I wonder if teams would be allowed if they just said, like say the Rockies, Dodgers, Cubs, or Brewers, if they would have just said, you know what, our pitching's thin, I'll tell you what, we just concede. We're just going to go straight to the wild card game.
Well, you know, the Rockies basically did that yesterday because when they got behind early, they didn't burn any of their bullets in the bullpen. They just went, all right, fine, we lost. We got a wild card tomorrow. And they say, so they got all their best arms already. And that the Freeland, who's pitching for them, has been one of the hottest pitchers in baseball.
So you're leading Colorado tonight.
I think Colorado, if it wasn't for the fact that they've spent the last 3 days in Denver, L.A., and now Chicago.
And, by the way, they hadn't been going the same direction either.
Right.
They went Denver, L.A., Chicago.
And it's not just three different cities. That is three different time zones.
And going backwards.
Yeah, that – I'm having a hard time with that, but I actually think Colorado is the better team.
All right.
So,
Be a good game. I can't wait.
Should be good, yeah. We'll have it on the ref. All right, there's your 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.